That good song. What a blessing. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you take them and go with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3 in your Bibles. The book of Philippians and chapter number 3. Heard a story about a 5-year-old boy. He was impressed by the lifestyle of a hermit man who lived in the 5th century. He was admired as a saint because for more than 35 years, he lived on top of a very high pillar for 35 years. And this 5-year-old boy thought that would be really great. So he put the kitchen stool on the table and started the perilous climb up. And when his mother heard some strange sounds in the kitchen, she came in and said, "Brian, get down before you break your neck." And as the youngster obeyed, he said, "You can't even become a saint in your own house." All right, I'll try a better one tonight before the service. All right, Philippians chapter number 2. We're going to begin verse number 13 of this passage of Scripture. A familiar passage to most of you, Philippians chapter 3 is. And what wonderful things we see in it today. And we're going to look at this thought today, pressing toward the mark of fatherhood. Pressing toward the mark of fatherhood. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12. Follow along, please, this morning as I read this passage. The Bible says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice that thought, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark." And I want to preach to you on that, these thoughts today, pressing toward the mark of fatherhood. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for each one of the fathers, Lord, in this place that are represented here today. Thank you for the privilege of being a father, Lord, and the privilege of, Lord, just seeing our children grow and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to take on new challenges and to fight through the troubles and the burdens of their own life. And Father, what a privilege it is. Thank you for all those stages of life that you've given to us as dads, the young stage, the middle age, the teenage, and even that adult stage of our children. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray this morning that we would press toward that mark of being the father that you want us to be in our life. And that, Lord, we would hold in high esteem that prize of the high calling of God. And Lord, we ask your blessings as we open the Bible this morning, and give us tender hearts to hear it and a mind to understand what you're saying to us. And we'll be careful to praise you and thank you, because it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Apostle Paul here said that he was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, I got to thinking about fatherhood, and you know, fatherhood is really much like pressing towards a mark. It's always pressing towards a mark. You know, if God has blessed you, Dad, with children, then can I tell you, it's God's will that he gave you those children. Remember the day that those children were born? When they first come into this world, I remember the first one, the amazement of thinking, man, this one is my child. I mean, I remember thinking that. And then I had a few that I was like, no, they can't be my child. You know? And it's just kind of this thing in life. When a child does an idiosyncrasy that you do, and you recognize it because you do that idiosyncrasy, it kind of endears your heart. Amen? And I remember when, you know, the children first come into your home. Have you ever stopped to think, though, God planned that child just for you? That child is for you. God gave you that child. And in that context, that child is the will of God for your life. God gave us these children to raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And in that sense, it's our will that God has that child for us to raise. And you know, it is important that we take God's will and we press toward the mark of that will. See, when God gave us children, he also put into us this goal to be the father that that child needs us to be. And that includes a whole gamut of things that I certainly can't get to everything today. But there are a few things that I believe are marks that we ought to be pressing towards as dads. Amen? I believe there's some marks that we ought to press towards. And thank God if you're a dad here today and you already are pressing toward these marks. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's some good things that are come towards these marks that we're pressing toward in our life. And you know, the will of God, if you think of it in this context, the will of God is not something that we should be dormant in. It's not something to just sit back and coast in. The will of God is something for us to be active in our minds and in our bodies and in our life. It is this activity in life that presses towards these marks that God has for us as we are trying to be the right kind of fathers for our kids. Well, I'll tell you what, we live in a time when there's a lot of difficulties in homes and families. There's a lot of times. There's a lot of trouble. Sometimes folks miss a father. He's not there. Sometimes a child is raised and a father's gone. He's not there. There can be some difficulties in being a father. And you know, we live in our day, in a day and an age when fatherhood isn't really considered a very important and valuable thing. But can I tell you something? Fatherhood is more than just creating a life and creating a child. Fatherhood is about being there, actively pursuing the marks of being a father that make us the difference between a dad and a father. You know, God honors these marks. I want to talk about them this morning, just give you a few, and then I'm going to let you go home and let your kids spoil you. And all God's people said, yeah. All right. Number one, there is a mark, dads, to walk in the light every day. A mark. It's something that we need to press towards every day in our life, walking toward the light. We live in a dark world, and we live in a world that can capture and it can destroy our minds. We must not walk in darkness. We have to walk in the light of Christ. And I want to tell you something that's not always easy. It is the mark that we're pursuing God's will in our life. Every day we need the influence of God's word to bring light to our soul. Where we forget God's word and where we leave its value relegated to the heap, the dust heap of non-important things in life. Where we relegate God's word in that way, I tell you, we're not pressing toward the light and we will drift into darkness. Darkness will encompass us. We're human. We're flesh. We have to press towards the mark of walking in the light. You know, the Apostle Paul was pressing towards that. He said, that which I would, I do not, and that which I do, I would not. He said, but no matter what, I'm still aiming at that. I'm still aiming there. Your walk may not be perfect, but as you grow in the Lord, and as we and I keep taking on new steps of faith, and that's the key, is taking a new step of faith all the time, walking in the light and willingly press toward that mark. God, what would you have me to do? And God, help me to do with all my heart. Amen. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. The world will give you darkness. The world will not feed your soul. You must walk with God, fathers. Amen. You must spend time in His Word. You must have a faithfulness in your church attendance. You say, why? Because fatherhood demands we walk in the light. It demands that we're aiming higher than where we already are. It means we are willingly opening our heart to an almighty God to make us more like Him every day, every hour. And my children need to see some semblance of God. Amen. You know, our kids don't see a physical Jesus, but they do see Him in us. They do see Him in us. They may not see Christ physically, but they can see what Christ is in us. Boy, I want to tell you, we got to be pressing toward the light, Dad. Dad, are you pressing toward the light? Press toward the light. Push toward the light. It's not less of God we need. It's more of God that we need in our lives. It's not just only spending time with our child and quality time, and that's important. But hear me, the time that's spent needs to be time, some time in the light of God. The light of God. A dad is a spiritual leader, not because he feels himself of some great spiritual leader, but because he's just walked in the light. He's just been there in the Word. He's been with God. He spent some time there. God is his Monday mornings. God is his Tuesday afternoons. God is his Wednesdays when he's tired. It's his Thursdays when it gets up and faithfully goes to work. It's the light that we need life. And may I tell you what, fathers? When you reject the light of God in your life, your family will also equally suffer. Because we are the leaders of our homes. And that's a mark we got to press toward. You may not always hit the mark, but you better keep aiming. You better keep pressing on. You better keep pushing. And if you stumble and fall, make it right with the Lord. Make it right with others. But keep on pressing on. That mark is there. It's the prize of the high calling of God. God gave us those children. We got to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. There's a second mark I want to talk about. And that is the mark of going out of our way to diligently maintain a good home. Going out of our way. You know, one thing I notice about good dads is they're tarred all the time. T-A-R-D, tarred. Amen? I learned that word when I pastored in Texas. Tarred. You know, being a good dad does mean you're going to be tarred. Amen? Tired. Early mornings, spend time with God, praying, thinking about spiritual things, growing, taking new steps of faith. Off to work. You go to places of work where They're not as loving and kind and considerate. They don't really care. In fact, many times, sometimes they repulse you for your Christian faith. Sometimes they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know what's inside of you. But can I tell you, you go home at night and you're tired, and then you walk in the front door, and guess what? One of the kids got sick because one of the dogs bit him. And the washer broke. And when you're tired, you fix those things again and again. And you go to bed real tired at night. Can I tell you something? That's fatherhood, isn't it? That's fatherhood. Can I tell you what, though, dads? Hear me. Listen to me. Your family appreciates your tiredness. Your family appreciates your tiredness. Or at least they should. And by the way, kids, do you realize why your dad does all that he does? It's to pay your bills. It's to put shoes on your feet, and it's to put a coat on you in the winter. It's to put gas in the car that takes you to all those fun places. That's why he gets tired. He's not just doing it for himself, because if he lived alone, he'd probably have a chair in a one-bedroom house, and he'd just sit there and do nothing the rest of his life. But he does what he does for you. And may I tell you what? You ought to rise up in gratitude and thank him for nothing else in life, just the hard work that he puts in for you. Some dads work in the heat. Some dads work with ungodly people around them day in and day out. Some dads work in jobs that they don't like, doing things that they're not fond of, but they stay at it. Can I honor you today, Dad? Can I say to you today, you are the strength of that home. You are the one that is keeping that home going. Thank God for dads who just go out of their way to diligently maintain that good home. It's a lot of things, from mowing the lawn to cleaning snotty noses. Even when they were little, changing diapers. Thank God those days are over. But there's a lot that goes into being a dad, and a lot that goes into going out of your way. But hear me today. You are loved. You are appreciated. And young people, tell your dad you love him and you appreciate him. Amen. He needs to know that. Amen. He needs to know it. A dad goes out of his way. Everything he does is not just with himself in mind. You'd be surprised at how many things a dad does with you in mind. You'd be surprised. A dad is not faithful just because he desires to be faithful. He does it oftentimes because he knows you need a faithful dad. And I thank God for you, Dad. Walking in the light, working in the world, oftentimes going out of your way to maintain that good home, to make sure the needs are met, food's on the table, the car actually runs this week, the things that you do in life. Thank God for good dads. Can I say to you today, there was a parents of little Willie. They were parents, but they weren't Christians. They were respectable, and they taught him to pray when he went to sleep each night. He'd pray that little child's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Bless Papa, Mama, Willie, and make me a good little boy. His parents weren't Christians, but they taught him that. And one evening as he finished his prayer, he said to his mom, he says, do you pray, Mother? No, dear, I don't. Does Daddy pray? I've never heard him pray. Then why do you make me pray? That you would be good, Don't you want to be good? Oh, yes, I want to be good. Then why don't you and Daddy pray? We've gotten out of the spirit, I guess, son. Well, Mama, don't you think you and Daddy are expecting too much of a little fellow like me? Am I supposed to do all the praying for the family? Seems to me you and Papa might help me a little bit. And after that, they did. It's amazing what the influence and the love in our hearts for our children can cause us to do and change in our life. And we ought to let every good change take hold, not proud to where these good changes cannot change us. Because God is always taking us as an unfinished product and making us more and more like Him every day. And I want to yield to that process, because as I yield to it, I'm pressing toward that mark. I'm pressing toward that mark of being a dad, going out of my way to do what God wants us to do. It's important. It makes a difference. Thirdly, can I say, thank God, there's a mark of unwavering in the truth. Unwavering in the truth. That's a mark to press towards. Because may I tell you something, our homes are going to be blessed as truth encompasses them. Where a home there, there's no truth, there will be instability, trouble, darkness, defeat. The truth is a mark that always ought to be aimed for. Oh, the truth was important. Truth was important to my parents. Oh, if they ever caught me telling a fish story, they were sure to say, now how long was that fish really? Right? And you say, did that have an impact on your life? Yeah, you should have gone with us this week because we caught some really big fish. Great big monsters. But no, unwavering in truth. You know, every home needs a dad, not just a pastor who stands for truth. Every home just needs a dad in it to stand for truth. Amen. Who's willing to say, no, we can't do that. And yes, we should follow that. And it's not just the preacher saying it. But when there's a dad and a mom in the home who say, this is what God said in His Word, let's take it up, let's press to that mark. It's God's will that we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So stay at it, unwavering in truth. Never giving up. Our kids are going to go through ups and downs in their life. But can I tell you the thing they need to be able to hold on to is that mom and dad know what's right. And mom and dad are doing their best to press toward that mark. And what an example that gives them to press towards and follow. I've never met a perfect dad. I can tell you I'm not one. But I can tell you what makes a good dad. It's the level at which he's pressing towards the marks of which he's trying to follow God in his life. Are you trying that, Dad? Have you given up on it? Have you thought, oh, I'm already there? Or have you thought, maybe somebody else needs to press toward marks in this home? Let me tell you something. Dads don't wait for anybody else. Just hold on to the truth. Dads become pressing towards the mark. And the example seems to just shed right on down to the kids. You see, I realize, Dad, and this sometimes is bothersome to us, but I realize sometimes that if my kids fail in life, it might be because of the example that I left them. And I don't want that. I don't want that at all. I want to keep on pressing toward that mark. I want to keep on following God. If I fail and falter, I come to the altar and I make it right, but I get back up And I keep right on going and pressing toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, unwavering in truth. Are you a man of truth, Dad? Are you a man that knows God's word? Do you have it hid in your heart? And is it what exudes from your life? Oh, listen. I believe it was in 1 John, the writer said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And that doesn't happen by osmosis. It's us taking up the marks of fatherhood, following the example. I can take you today to a good man in church, a good man. He's in church this morning. He married, but he married the wrong woman. He married a woman out of pity, and she lived a bad life. And later on, after they got married, he got saved, but she didn't. And he wanted to serve the Lord, and he was the kind of guy that was pressing on, serving the Lord, but his wife wasn't into it. She checked out. And she was involved in all kinds of things in life, but this man stayed married. He didn't throw it away. And men, don't throw it away, no matter how difficult sometimes may be. Hear me, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. You say, but there's some difficulties. Yeah. But don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. And he didn't. He kept on serving. He took his kids and worked extra time to have his kids in a Christian school. And I'm not being unkind or uncritical, but he just didn't have the support of a godly wife behind him. He just didn't have that. But he did. He was a mark presser. He was pressing on to serve the Lord. I had the blessing of getting to know his kids and my kids, and would be friends of his kids and do things together. And we all knew that his mom just, really, she was a mess in life. We were always kind to her and treated her well, like a Christian should, but it was that way. But I'll tell you what, each one of those kids graduated. Each one of those kids went to Bible college. And I'll tell you what, a sad day occurred when his wife passed away. And everyone went to that funeral of his wife, and she passed away. But can I tell you what? He continued on, and he's living for the Lord. And all three of his kids are in church today. And I think at least two of them are serving the Lord in some kind of Christian service. What a blessing. So I say to you today, it can happen. But it can happen when a father sees the mark and presses on. And men, you can do that. You can do that. Hey, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You can press to that mark. You can press and be that father that God would want you to be. There are little eyes always watching us. I read a story, a little poem that says this. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the wise fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicion ever arises. He believes in you devoutly, holds to all you say and do. He will grow up and do in your way when he's grown up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fella who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. It's so true. It's so true. And can I tell you, Dad, don't get discouraged about your failures. Just keep pressing toward the mark. Don't live discouraged. Live pressing. Live pressing. There's a mark. There's a mark that God has for you. I want to close to you today and tell you how to take care of a good father. This isn't for the fathers. This is for the non-fathers. How do you take care of a good father? There's 5 points how to take care of a good father. Number one, honor him with words and actions. Honor him with words and actions. You know, dads don't just walk around with gushy talk. You know, we would sit together at the table and hold hands before we prayed, but I didn't make my boys hold hands. There's just something about a boy holding hands with his brother. We didn't make them do that. They had to hold hands with their sister. Amen? And one of our punishments in our house is if they're fighting, they had to sit down together and hold hands. That works. Amen? And they don't get to quit until they are nice to each other and treat each other right. Amen? Oh, it works. But I want to tell you something. Your dad needs to hear, even though us guys aren't gushy, your dad needs to hear you love him. Your dad needs to hear you love it. Let me tell you something. He's the one that worked when you were a child and a baby and took care of all those things. He needs to know by your words and your actions that you honor him. He needs to know it. Honor him with words and actions. Thank him. Secondly, thank him for his sacrifice to supply your needs. Boy, I'll tell you what. Thank God for dads who just do what it takes to meet the needs. There's always, man, when you have kids in the home, there's always shoes that are needed and clothes and food and stuff. And then our dumb government keeps inflating everything and making everything. That was my political jab of this message. I thought I'd throw it in there. Amen. But makes it harder and more difficult. Life isn't always easy. And so it requires sometimes more work and more effort. Thank God. You ought to, young people, understand that. And thank him for his sacrifice to supply your needs. My kids asked me what I want for Father's Day. Now's my chance. Cherry red Corvette would be just fine. Amen. That'd be okay. One of them brand new $100,000 pickup trucks, I could settle for that also. Amen. Yeah. But you know what's funny? Us dads, we don't want that from our kids. We don't want that from our kids. We just want to be thanked sometimes for the sacrifice. Thirdly, respect your dad as a pillar in God's church. Respect your dad as a pillar in God's church. You know, faithful God, you know the churches can't go on without faithful and godly dads and men. It can't. It's impossible. You think it's a preacher that holds the church together. A preacher has his part, but I got news for you. Faithful dads. Faithful dads. That's the glue of a church. And when a dad's a pillar in the church and they just stay faithful and they just stay right there and they're always there. You can count on them. They're dependable. Can I tell you what? Respect him as a pillar in the church. Respect him. I thank God for the good dads that make up this church and the leadership. I know that if I'm ever gone, I can call on several of our men to come up and preach and they will open the Bible and give you some food from the Word of God. I thank God for that. Not every preacher has that. And I thank God for it. And I respect them as pillars in the church. Number four, respond to a father's instructions. Respond to a father's instructions. How do you care for your good dad? When he tells you to do something, do it. Right. You know, dads don't always tell you the why. Right? You know what my kids would always ask me? Why? I want you to go do that. Why? And you know what my answer is? Because I said so. Amen? That's my answer. By the way, they'll figure it all out when they're a dad. They'll be like, oh, now I know why, right? Yeah, I get it now. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with telling them why, but young person, you ought to respond to your father's instructions. Because let me tell you something, my dad loves you and he wants what's best for you. And he wants, through his instructions, to demonstrate his love by seeing your life do well. Amen. Amen. Lastly, let me say this. Realize the love that a dad carries for you every day. Realize the love that dad carries for you every day. Wives, he may not be that good at telling you he loves you. But we ought to get good at that, men. We ought to get good at that. But I can tell you one thing I know about men is they don't go to work that day just to make money. They know that that's going to help their home and their family. They know that. And how do you treat a dad? How do you treat a good dad? You walk in this understanding that I know he loves me because of his actions and what he does for me. There's a great amount of love there. There's a great amount of love in what a dad does every day. Can I tell you what? Realize he loves you. Now I'm done with the message, but I want to apply something to our Heavenly Father. Did you know there's a God that loves you just as much? He is a Heavenly Father. And that God created you on this earth. And he puts you here on this earth. He gives you his protection. He takes care of us every day. God is always there for us. He does that because of the great love that he has for us. We are not aloof in his mind. We are daily there in his mind. And friend, I want to tell you something this morning. That God loves you and he died for you on an old rugged cross. He paid for all of the sins you and I have ever done because we can't get to heaven with sin on our account. It's not going to happen. We have to have all those sins cleansed before we can enter into a perfect heaven, or we'd make a perfect heaven just as dirty as this old world is. So God freely offers his salvation if we'll receive it. He's a loving Father. He's a Heavenly Father, and he wants to give you salvation. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, at some point in your life and said, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come in and forgive me of my sins, cleanse me and take me to heaven. If you've never stopped and realized you are a sinner and ask him to save you, can I encourage you to do that today? And that doesn't matter if you're a dad or a mom, a child, a boy, a girl, whoever you are, there's a God that loves you, a God that died for you. He is a Heavenly Father, and he wants to give you a home in heaven today if you will receive his instructions today. His instructions are to come to him with a heart and ask him to save you and cleanse you because he died for you and me. And if you will do that, he will keep his promise and come into you and save you today. How about it today? Would you trust him? Put your faith and your trust in him once and for all today. Let's bow our heads this morning.